You have your Bible with you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We'll be back in Luke next Sunday. Matthew 28. And if you don't happen to have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring you one. Make sure everybody has a copy with them while we're moving through this. Matthew chapter 28, a very familiar text. And before I read that, I want to open in prayer and pray for the family that Morgan just told us about. I also want to pray this morning for, I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to do it anyways. It works better that way. I didn't ask Carmen's permission, but I'd like to pray for Carmen and for her son Chris and for her daughter Julie. Bruce went to be with the Lord a year ago today. And just pray for them on this day. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, that we are not sitting here or standing here hopeless, but that we have somewhere to turn. That is not man's invention of any way, Lord, but is the one true and living God, and who He is in all of His majesty and glory. And Father, for this family that has lost their baby, Lord, I pray for comfort for them. I don't know if they know you or not, but I pray if they don't, that Father, you would draw them so close. And if they do, you draw them so close. And Jesus, that you would fill just not necessarily the void, but just fill their hearts, Lord, in such a time of suffering. And for Ryan and Morgan, Lord, we just continue to pray for them and just love them with so much love, God. But Father, for Carmen this morning and Julie and Christopher, as 1 year has passed since they lost their husband and father, Lord, I pray for them today that you would fill that heart, all three hearts, with such comfort and, Father, knowing that you are present and that Bruce is experiencing joy inexpressible in the presence of Christ. He is absent from the body and he is present with you. I thank you, Father, that is a truth that just wraps its arms around us in times of great pain. So I pray, Father, for your comfort in the midst of such suffering. We love you. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As a minister of the gospel, as a local church pastor, and as a chaplain with the local sheriff's office, I have a tremendous privilege given to me to be in the midst of trauma and to seek to bring encouragement and love and kindness and comfort as best I can in the midst of great trauma. But to be totally straight with you, there are times when in the midst of those situations, I don't have a clue what to say. And in the midst of those situations, my heart is overflowing with affection and care, but I don't know what to do, what to say, how to speak into the life that has been shattered so much. And I don't know about you, I'm sure everybody here has experienced pain in some way, physical and emotional. But beloved, aren't there times when you are face to face with with just absolute stress and trauma and difficulty, and you actually have the slipping thought go through your mind, man, is the gospel really what I should share here? Could the gospel actually run to the rescue here? It seems at times, and this is a horrible thought, and we know this theologically, but at times, the gospel's not enough to speak to this situation. And that's where we back away for a second. And we say, get behind me, Satan. And we bring the word in, and we remind ourselves there is no better, stronger, more powerful answer. Dramatic pause. Than the gospel. I don't know about you, but the longer I'm a believer, the more I watch our world shift and change and move, and I see my kids grow so fast, and birthdays just keep showing, and hair keeps disappearing. You start grasping for what is real, and for what is staying, and for what is true, and you're looking for a foundation, a rock to say, this is it. I'm going hard after this. I'm not letting anybody detour me from this. And you search around for it. And you can look around at the world. They do that. They're just searching for anything. It's like a blind person in the dark reaching to find something. It's not going to work for them. But nonetheless, they're doing it. But we as believers have been granted a rock. And I think it's found in this text. The fact is, this life is a mist. Just walk the beach and you'll watch it just kind of go by so quickly. And you're there left with what from this life if you don't know Christ? And so there's times where you got to make the main thing, and just come down, drill down deep and say, this is it. And before Christ left, this is what he shares. Now, I want to show you kind of the backbone of what the command fits in. This is the Great Commission, but there's a rock that Jesus states in this text before he gives the Great Commission. This is what balances us or stabilizes us. So Matthew 28:16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, and may the Spirit of God attach himself to the Word of God right now with great clarity, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Circle the word all. You know what that means, that word? It means all. Everything. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus Christ is no man. He is God. 100% almighty, sovereign God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. No one else has authority. Jesus Christ reigns supreme. Nobody says, no, Jesus, you can't do that. He answers to nobody, period. And if any of us ever have a problem with that, take it up with Jesus. And good luck with that. But the truth is, beloved, it is the most glorious, glorious truth that he has all authority in heaven and earth. But this is what's so neat. That's a rock that he is building on to give this commission. Don't ever, beloved, don't ever, ever detach 18 from 19 and 20. Ever. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, this verse 19 has been hijacked at times when evangelists will preach or preachers will preach, and they'll say, go, see, the command, you are commanded to go. Everybody should go to Africa, or everybody should go, go, go. The word go is not the verb in this passage. I think a better translation would be as you're going, or when you're going. The main verb, the command, the commission here is the word make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I mean, hearing Mark talk about what's happening in China, that is phenomenal, brother. I love that, man. You're pumping so much joy into this building by sharing what the Spirit of God is doing. That is beautiful. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Lord has given us this great commission or this great command. He sent us out into this world with a marching order. And the marching order is not necessarily to make converts. We can't do that. We're not able to make people save. That's the work of the Spirit. But to make disciples. Now, they get saved before they're a disciple. I understand that. But this commission or this command is to go into the world, share Christ. When people get saved, pour into them. It's one of the reasons I'm a little perturbed at times with revival meetings where everybody gets saved and then nobody gets trained or discipled or taken care of. But as somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is born again, the first step is baptism. You see that in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. And secondly, teaching them to observe or to follow, to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And so there's like two bookends if you look at this text. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have taught you, to observe all that I've taught you. And then the second bookend. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, that brings great comfort when you're at the water cooler and you're sitting there and somebody says, so, everybody was talking, they told me you were a believer. Is that real? You know, what's your story? Right at that moment, Jesus says, I'm with you. And as the missionary in the midst of a jungle surrounded by foreigners with spears says, tell us about your God, Jesus rushes and says, I'm with you. This is not a command only to those that may be in the jungle. This is the one who is everywhere for the name of Christ, sharing Jesus Christ. I am with you till the end of the age. I am right here beside you. Not only that, but if you remember the Lord Jesus in John 14 said, another helper is coming. As the Spirit comes, He'll convict you of sin. He'll guide you into all truth. So, beloved, when we look at this world, I understand that there's persecution, there's harm, there's hatred towards us. If they hated Christ, they'll hate you also. Everybody who seeks to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But the trick to the thing is that all those people that hate me are the ones that I need to share Christ with. My enemy's my mission field. And how sweet it is when you see the transformation in a life when somebody goes from death into life and they are born again. And all of a sudden, the book they hated, they adore. The people that annoyed them, they cherish. And that Christian life begins. And so, just some thoughts for us to ponder. Why do you think we're so fearful in evangelism, if this is true? Why do you think it's nervous and your palms sweat a little bit and your heart beats a little faster when that person asks you about Christ and you know it's going to land badly? It's not going to go too well. If Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth, and if He is with us always to the end of the age, I say it reverently with a full heart, chill out. Relax. Especially in our country, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to make fun of you or laugh, or maybe you won't get invited back to the family reunion. That may be a blessing in itself. So, but if my dear brothers and sisters who say, I will not declare Allah as God, and their children and their lives are taken as well, remain steadfast because all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. What are we doing? And I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm right with you. I'm getting gas pumped over at this gas station and I want to share Christ, but it's awkward and I don't know how to say it to the guy. And, you know, but nonetheless, there is such a sweet, tender comfort before Jesus leaves. He says, it's okay. I'm in charge. And I'm with you. So just be faithful with the precious news. Don't bury your talent in the ground. Start spreading it everywhere. Second piece I kind of want to throw out there, and that's kind of in reference to evangelism. The second piece is in reference to disciple making. It's a good question to just ponder. Number one, do you have someone speaking into your life as a believer that's helping you grow? And number two, do you have somebody you're speaking into to help them grow? There's this flowing of the word where it goes into a life, this person grows and is matured, then they go to the next person, and they grow and mature, and they go to the next person. There's this chain that Jesus has designed. By the way, that's why the gospel's in Pacific City right now, from Jerusalem, because it keeps going, building disciples. There's been obedience to the Great Commission in this text. And so, do you have somebody speaking into your life? Do you have one at a mature level than you pouring in? And then do you take what's been given to pour in? This is the coolest part. Some people will say, well, I could never share Christ. Why? I've only been saved for a year. Well, I don't buy that. There's somebody who doesn't know what you know. And no doubt there's somebody that knows much that you don't know. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to entrust to faithful men who will teach others also. This is a beautiful laying out of how the Lord Jesus Christ will build His church and the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against it. And so there, in this brief little life, and this is the part that just consistently blows my mind, He lets us be a part of it. That's the part that's insane to me. I mean, it's insane to think that He rescued us, He saved us, Christ laid His life down, and we were granted His righteousness. Yes, that is incredible. And then after that, He goes, okay, now that I've saved you, I want you to be an instrument in order to go out and see others come to Christ. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing is ours as believers. But beloved, with all of the many trials and tribulations and struggles that are represented in this place this morning, I really do believe the greatest truth needed for all those situations goes back to the gospel. Give my life for that. I believe that with all my heart, my passion, the elders of this church's passion is that Jesus Christ and Him crucified remain the constant call that's on our lips as we rejoice and reflect on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so this morning, I get the cool privilege of baptizing somebody. One that I got to see grow up over the last 6.5 years. And now I would never want to do a Bible duel with this person. And it's beautiful how the Lord produces and reproduces and reproduces, making His people. And Noah is going to be going to Ecola Bible College now. Let's see, when does that start? Two weeks? And so I see this guy with such passionate evangelistic fervor in the local school, friends, family. At times I'm wondering if he thinks I'm not saved because he's so passionate about the gospel. But as I see what the Lord's accomplishing in Noah, I just am reminded, I have authority over all things. I am all authority in heaven and earth has been granted and given to me. Go into all the world and make disciples. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a promise that I wanted to preach to us and remind us of the truth, but also to my brother Noah. This is a truth you can bank on, brother. And so I want to read through this one more time. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So with that, Noah wants to come up and share with you a little bit, and then he's going to get wet.
Okay. Like, there was this one time that I had this pain in my neck. I guess it was like I prayed that I would, you know, give my life to Him or take pain out of my neck. I'm not sure if that was. I know that. I think. See, I used to enjoy. Violence for entertainment, you know? And I guess, if I remember correctly, after that event, that I, you know, was convicted more of that. And I was about it for a long time. But eventually, yeah, I decided to stop being entertained by violence, you know, entertainment. And another thing that happened was some of my issues that I had with autism, a lot of them I got over with because I knew that complaining about certain things dishonored my parents. On your father and mother. And another time was, I felt that was kind of like grace. I was reading this book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, basically where he says that that even faith is a gift from God, and you know, if you think it's you that converted yourself, you know, you're kind of blaspheming, I guess, is what he said. And that actually kind of felt, that helped me because of, I think for a while I kind of made humility worse. Like, you know, you you make yourself humble, but, you know, understand. But really, it helped me understand how humility is, even that, you know, is not something that, it helped me understand what it really means to be saved. Grace, I'm not sure which of these was exact, you know, time, but I guess I'd say that I know I'm saved now, and, you know, it's hard to know exact time. And I, you know, convicted that you, now that I'm saved, you know, in Acts 8:36-39, I typed this down, and as they went on their way, it says, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Behold, water, what hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son, Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. And the other one that I wrote down was Acts 22:16. "And now, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name." Here he's saying that, why are you prolonging it, you know? It's, baptism isn't something that you prolong, you know. You should do it as soon as possible. And this is, it was somebody talking to Paul. And then he says, "Wash away your sins, calling on his name." So it's not the baptism that saves you. It's saying calling on his name by faith, you know. Wash away your sins by calling on his name. That's the, and so just, since I do believe that, you know, he died, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, if you believe with all your heart, you may. I believe, you know, that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and the third day rose from the dead. That we're saved by faith in his name. And thus, after that, I'm convicted that you should be baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or in the name of the Lord Jesus, same name, one God, the one name of the one God, into his name, by his authority and under his authority, symbolizing your submission to him, your faith, repentance, your dying with Christ, being buried with him, and being raised